Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, September the 13th, 2016. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we are continuing with part two of an intro that we're getting ready to roll out for the Claronomics show. It's an audio show and a book that's coming up that we're going to be doing. Got three or four shows we're going to be doing simultaneously at the same time. So we're going to be trying something new, trying to launch out into the deep, so to speak, give more, so that way I can create more. So when we were talking about yesterday, we were talking about what happens to you biologically when you engage in the activity of business. So when we look at the biology of business, we are talking about at the heart of business, at the foundation of business, there is something that drives the methodology of business. And we have to understand the methodology of business. Now, these terms that we use establishes the worlds that we live in. And to be effective in any area, you have to be effective in the assimilation of these terms. So it's one thing to read the definition of a word, but it's another thing to assimilate the terms of that word. And so when we talk about certain words, when we talk about certain definitions, we are talking about things that help to develop your management style, your management skill. Everybody has a leadership style. Everyone has a leadership skill. So there is a model that you have that you present. So this leadership knowledge base that you pull from, this is information that you use to improve your leadership skills. And this is the biology of understanding what your business is. And so when we talk about at the heart of business, there is this underlying ability that makes you an expert. So what makes you an expert in your area? Well, there is a neuro-linguistical science that establishes or makes you an expert in the area of sales, in the area of coaching, in the area of being in business. This is the ability to inspire. This is the ability to influence. Many people don't have that ability, and some of us are born with it. I wasn't born with that natural ability because I was born with the ability to care. I was born with the ability to discern. So I can detect that someone is hurting, but then I don't know what to do. So I just thought, I'll just give them me. Since I don't have nothing else to give them, I don't have a product, I don't have a service, I don't have information to give them. So since I don't have anything to give them, I just give them me. And as I got older, if I wanted to be in a relationship with anybody, no person wants to be in a relationship with somebody that's freely giving themselves to other people. So I was telling clients and people the same thing that I would tell my wife. And that's a problem because the person that you marry or the person that you're with should be special. You should have the ability and the desire to do seven things that you do for them that you don't do for other people. And we talked about those seven things inside of my series that I did many, many moons ago on relationships. So those seven things, again, that you do different than you do in business is you make her number one. You make her and you show her that you care. You take time to listen without offering solutions or judging. You understand. you acknowledge her right and her wishes and her needs. That shows her that you respect, you support, you cherish, you adore. You make her feel more special than anyone else. That's called devotion. You accept and you confirm her beliefs without trying to change them. That's called validation. Then you reassure by repeating the first six steps. So in every relationship, men, if you want your relationship to work, if you don't want your relationship to work, just do what I've been doing and don't do these seven things. If you do, this is guaranteed. Brother Zach, marriage was on the verge of, they've been married 14 years and get ready to call it a wrap. I told his brother, do this. Brother did it, and his marriage has been great. So when it comes to business, your personal life and your business life mirror each other. But there are small differences between the two. There are small things that you do differently in business than what you do in a relationship. But they are very, very, very similar. They are eerily similar. And so when we talk about those seven keys to a relationship that I just mentioned, and again, now those seven keys for women are totally different. That's what gets everybody in trouble. So women give men what they want in a relationship, and men give women what they want in a relationship. That's why relationships don't work. Well, business is no different. When you are in business, the biology of business is, see, I went into business and I gave customers what I wanted. I thought every customer wanted the exact same thing that I want. Man, 40 years of doing that, and then the green light came on that, hey, maybe they are not wired like you. Everybody don't want to talk all the time. Everybody don't want to be all, have you all up in their Kool-Aid and all, you know, all trying to be all intimate. Everybody don't want you to solve their problems. Some people, they know what to do. They just want to vent. They just want you to sit down, shut up, and listen. Men, if you can master that skill, you'll never be single. Let me say that again. This is what gets me in trouble. Most men can't do this. Now, I figured this out a long time ago. When a woman talks, you shut up. And when you know the solution. The woman, she's sitting there, she's explaining to you that she had a flat tire. Now, you a man, and you know how to fix flat tires. Every man I know will say, oh, honey, oh, you know what you should have did was, you know, you should have pulled those up. You should have put the emergency brake on. That, you know, keeps the vehicle from rolling back. And then you should have got a rock or something and put it underneath the tire to prevent the vehicle from. Now, men, we're going to go in and we're going to tell them what they, that's not why a woman is telling you the story. She's telling you the story because she wants you to listen non-judgmentally. So, men, myself included, every once in a while I forget and I got to hit myself upside the head with a 2x4 and realize that business is the same. Customers don't give a rip about what you think. Customers don't care about your day. Customers want you to care about their day. Customers want you to know what they think. When a customer walks in, man, I remember when you know a customer by their name, back in the day at the coffee shop, I remember, man, customers come in and say, oh, yeah, you know, they care about mocha coffee, right? And the name guy, yeah, Randy, you want that caramel coffee? And I would see him pull up, and I would automatically start making the coffee. When he walked up to the counter, I would have it already ready. Man, you want to see a customer light up and drop a tip in that tip jar? Try that. Know what the customer wants before they ask. That's the biology of business. It's no different from a relationship. So, men, if you are in a relationship and you want to guarantee your relationship works, you got to make sure that your woman knows that she's the number one person in your life, bar none. No other female, even your mother, don't come before her. You got to make her know that you care about her. You can't tell her you care. You got to show her. You got to show her that you understand her by sitting down and listening. You got to show her that you respect her by giving her the right to have an opinion. Men, we think we know everything. So a woman tells us something, we say, no, baby, that's not how you do it. See, the way what you put on the makeup is we never wear makeup in our life, but we don't tell the woman how to wear makeup. We're not acknowledging their right to have a brain. And then, men, if you want your marriage to work, you got to support, you got to fulfill, you got to cherish, you got to make that woman feel that you are devoted to her and her alone. You can't be devoted to nothing. You can't even be devoted to your career more than you're devoted to your woman. Can't do that. Then you got to validate. You got to accept her feelings. I don't care if you agree with them. Validate them. Because she is right. Regardless of what she says, because that's where she's at. Now, tomorrow, she'll change. But as of today, that's where she's at. Then you got to reassure her by doing what? By repeating this process. Make it number one, care, understand, respect, devote, validate, reassure. If you do those seven things in a relationship, bam, you got your relationship will be a fair proof. You'll have a great relationship. Same thing in business. There are seven things that you got to do in business, in the biology of business that's inside the book, but you got to kind of like buy the book. It's similar to these seven things that you do in a relationship. So business is no different. People don't buy your product. People don't buy your service. People don't buy your information. People buy you. All of my clients and all of my customers that are lifelong customers, I got a relationship with them. I've never seen them before in my life. My sister Ellen, she's one of customers. Every time I do something, Sister Ellen is one of the first people that buys my book or participates in my class. I've never met Sister Ellen in my life, but me and her have a relationship. I respect Sister Ellen. Sister Ellen respects me. We don't agree upon everything, but I see the light in her. She sees the light in me. I see the intent in her. She's a business owner herself. She's doing the same thing. But yet she takes time out of her day to listen to this show, to buy my products and my services. I remember once she sent me a care package I was talking about, and I was telling her that my wife had, you know, high blood pressure. And then just out of the mail, sent a package that probably, I think the value on that thing was probably like $200 for free. See, that's how you establish business, because you would do the same thing in a relationship. So a business is no different. The biology of business is the biology of a relationship. And women, why does a man, like, have you ever asked why you're single, like women that are single? Ever ask a man, the men that are single, why they're single? See, women give men what they would like to receive instead of giving men what the man needs. You can't do that, women. Women enable men. We women demasculize men. You women, y'all are neutering us. Y'all cutting off our cojones. Y'all don't know it. Y'all just trying to love, but you don't know. This is what there are seven things that woman that a man has to have. A man that the number one thing, the man's opinion has to be the most important. If your dad says something and you take his advice over your man, you're not going to have that man very long. Now, my oldest daughter, Sade, me and Sade we got a great relationship. And her boyfriend, Java, they just come back from Miami. She just got engaged. Now, they have been dating for 5 years. Java never proposed to Sade. And I told Sade why. I told my daughter these seven things. They just came back from Miami. So I'm posting on Facebook right now. Just came back from Miami where he engaged, bought her this big old ring, because this is what I told Sade to do. I told Sade to stop listening to my shows. Stop calling me for advice. Talk to your husband. My daughter said, but Dad, I love you. I trust you. I don't trust that fool. I don't know. He hasn't proven himself. I said, Sade, you got to give him the opportunity to fail. But Dad, his previous relationship, you know, he got another baby by another woman. And I said, Sade, you knew that before you married him. When you met him, he had that child. Didn't he? Yes, sir. So you can't hold it against him. You can't penalize him. But Dad, I like to listen to the show. But he hated the fact that Sade listened to my show. Sade, she would be playing it while she's cleaning up. And I would hear him in the background walking by saying, oh, you got your dad playing in the background again, huh? And Sade was like, why you got a problem with my dad? Java didn't have a problem with me. He had a problem that his wife put another man before him. So women, you go to church, right? Biggest mistake you made in your life. If you want your marriage to work, don't ever come home and tell your husband what the pastor said. If you don't believe me, test the theory. Go home and tell, hey, honey, pastor preached a great message today. Tell him that while he's watching the football game. Pastor broke it down today, honey. Watch the look on his face. Even me. I mean, y'all listen to me, right? Don't go home and tell your man, Brother Will said. That's the kiss of death. The man has to be the number one person that you go to for advice. He has to be the go-to guy. If he's not the go-to guy, trust me, he got another female on the side that calls him for advice. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. I wish I was. I wish I knew this, you know, 25 years ago. Hell, I wish I knew it, you know, a year ago. So when I analyze my relationship and I find out, okay, something's not right, man. I'm a teacher. I do this for a living. I had to go back to the drawing board. And I found out the number one mistake that women make and the thing that I had a problem with, my wife doesn't value my opinion. She don't listen to my shows. She got a problem. She calls her dad. She don't call me. How does that make me feel? Right, wrong, or indifference, women, I'm telling you, I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you how men are wired. I'll tell you how I'm wired. A man has to be the number one person in your life for advice. Number two, women. You got a man? You want to get a man? You got to trust your man. I know he ain't trustworthy. That fool ain't done nothing in his life right. He makes a decision. You know he's going the wrong way. Honey, you should make a left, you know, that's shorter, go to the store. Oh, I'm driving. You want to drive? That's what men always say. You got to trust men. You have to trust us. Now, trust? Yeah, that's a cookie blower right there. Because most people don't over, under, and I did a whole series on that one word, trust. Now, today's show is not about relationships. Today's show is about biology of business. But when you are in business, you got a relationship with your customers. You can't have a relationship with me, man, and you don't rely on my integrity and my ability to, you're not confident. You're not certain of the, you don't have the confidence in me. See, trust is the expectation that the investment that you are making is going to be worthwhile. See, men can, it's not what you say, it's what you vibe. So men, we pick up on your energy. So you say, you tell us with your mouth, oh, baby, I love you. But we know you don't because your energy, you feel insecure. Now, it's we the one made you feel insecure. But you have to be able. Now, I'm talking about if you want to keep the man. You know, if you just, you know, if you just passing through, okay, you ain't got to do this. But if you want to keep your man, you got to help the man feel confident. Because men, we didn't got no confidence. We don't have any. Men, we blow cookies. We walk around like roaring lions. We bang on our chest. We scare little chickens. We need that trust. Trust is very similar to number three, acceptance. You have to accept us, flaws and all. Women, y'all always get a man trying to fix him up. Do you know a man will do anything? I mean, swim the Atlantic Ocean. The man will climb Mount Everest. The man will work three jobs. The man will wipe your butt if you trust him. That means you put confidence in his leadership ability. That means that you recognize and you obligate yourself, your position. You voluntarily. Now, this is a big one. Women, y'all have to make us think that we're leading even though we're not. So you got to, number one, for women, you want the relationship to work. You got to take it. You got to, he has to be the, if something goes wrong, I don't care. Now, you can call the plumber after you call the husband. But, hey, the plumbing goes out. Hey, honey, the plumbing just goes. Now, you know that fool can't fix no plumbing. But you call him and give him the right, the first right of refusal. Try it. You got a man, something goes wrong, you know that man don't know nothing, place no AC. Honey, the AC go out. Man, you think he can take a look at it? Man, watch the smile on his face. Because why? My wife, trust me, man. She got confidence in my skills. I don't know. I'm going to call the plumber. I'm going to call the AC guy. But the fact that you made him feel. Number three, acceptance. Women, men have to feel accepted by you because we don't feel accepted by nobody. Now, I'm specifically talking about black men. Where can a black man go and be accepted? Please, somebody tell me. I've been waiting. I'm warning, man. If you guys, you can email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. If you know a place right now in America where a black man can go and they welcome him, they hug him, and they accept him for who he is. They don't care about how many jobs he's lost. They don't care about his credit rating. They don't care about how dark his skin is. They don't care about how many baby mamas he got. They don't care. You show me a place where a man can go. When a man comes home, the wife starts nagging. Honey, I got you there. You're going to fix the thing. A man has to be able. Now, he'll do it if you look to him for advice. if you trust him, if you accept him for who he is. That means that you actually engage in number four. And this was a biggie right here. Appreciation. If you can appreciate him right where he's at, before you start fixing him up, because the man will fix up himself if you appreciate where he's at. If you recognize the little bit of work he got, I don't care what it is. Let's say your man can't do nothing, but the only thing that he can do is he can cut grass. Man, that fool don't wash dishes. You know, he can't cook, he can't clean, but man, you give him a lawnmower. Man, every time he gets, you do a lawnmower. Now, you can try this on your sons. Women, if you got a son, if you want your son to shine like a $100 bill, do these seven things. You gotta appreciate him where he's at. Number five, this is a big one, again, for men. Women, men don't need devotion. We don't need respect. We don't need validation. We need admiration. Oh, man. I've experienced this one firsthand just recently, man. It's crazy. Do you know what it means to admire somebody? I don't know if y'all really understand the game, women. Women, if you look at your man with wonder, he may not be the sharpest tool in the shed or the brightest bulb in a pack, but he's your man. If you look at your man with wonder, watch how, oh, man, I'm telling you, the brother will get three jobs. Don't believe me? Try it. Just look at him with, like, amazement. Like, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then just sometimes just look at him and then they smile. And then he's going to look, you know, honey, what's going on? What'd you look at? And just say, babe, I just think that you're just great. Just regard him as being wonderful. This is what men need. Women don't need none. If you notice, none of these things are on the women's list. Women need total. So men are business owners. You got a business. You got a male customer that comes into your store. And you got a female customer that comes into your store. And you treat them both the same. And you know, the male men are not going to be back. I do this all the time. I go to a place and I hate it when the customer or the person acknowledges my wife and they treat her like gold and they are like I'm not even there, like I'm invisible. And you won't see me back now. She'll be back. I ain't coming. She come by herself. So you gotta come in restaurants, they do this all the time. Especially in my first marriage, because again, she was Caucasian. So I could go to the bank with my first wife. They'll say, hey, you cash your check, you're back. Oh, you know, about calling my first name. Oh, man, they'd be high-fiving each other because, you know, Caucasian and Caucasian. I go there, they act like I don't exist. It just shows the hidden racism, checking the drive-thru. Now, you guys, I tell this story all the time. My first marriage, we go to the drive-thru. I'm driving. They know me, been a member there. We need you to come inside the bank to cash the check. So I go around, we change seats. My wife would drive around, again, in my first marriage. She's white. She put it to the drive-thru. Hey, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, we'll cash that for you. No problem. It's not even her check. What the? I wish I was making it up. So, women, if you want to get females to buy your products, your services, and information, and men, if you want to sell to other men, it's not gay to make men feel these things, because those are the subconscious biological triggers that releases the chemicals of oxytocin in men. That's why people buy stuff, by the way. That's where we're going with this, but I don't want to, you know, give you the milk, because then you got no reason to buy the cow. So the series, I'm going to break it all down a little further. But women, men, they need to be admired. Number six, approval. And number seven, encouragement. So women, test out this at home on your man before you implement it in your business. Men, test this out on your wife at home or your girlfriend at home before you go and implement it on your business. Because this is what the biology of business is, brothers and sisters. Men, we don't need you to care about us. We're not your son. But what we do, we need you to trust us. We need you to give me an assignment and walk away. Don't stand there and watch me. Don't micromanage me, man. Just give me the assignment. That's all you got to do. If I tell you, hey, honey, you know, the best way to do this is this, you got to take my advice. Even if it's wrong, take it. Act like you're listening. Because why? it releases a chemical inside of my body that says, ha, 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 yeah, my wife loves me. So you have to do this, woman, if you want a man, and men, you have to do this if you want a woman. So same thing in relationships. I mean, same thing in business. So in business, there are keys to the kingdom of releasing oxytocin. That's why people do everything. Nobody does oxytocin. It is called a magical chemical. Brothers and sisters, they learn this in petri dishes. They learn this by, you know, all of Maslow's theories and everything with, you know, giving carrots, to, I mean, cheese to rats and getting people. How do you motivate people to respond? How do you program response? How do you get people to override their limited beliefs? How do you limit your leadership so that way you can create and program people to improve their skills? All of this is going to be inside of this book, and it's out of this series, The Biology of Business. You see, brothers and sisters, we all are patterns. We are programmable people. Everybody, I guarantee you drive the same way to work every day. I guarantee you, when you wake up in the morning, you do the same routine. You probably wake up, if you brush your teeth first, or do you wash your face first? Or do you jump immediately in the shower? Or do you go to the restroom first? What is your routine? You got a pattern. If I watch you, you got a pattern. Now, my pattern is it's like a nine-month pattern. So every year around this time, you know, now because I'm cognitive of the pattern, I've changed it. Remember I said on yesterday's show, nothing happens until you are observed. Who's observing you? The watchers. Why does God put watchers on earth? The earth would not exist without the watchers. Let me say that again. How do you know something exists? Think about it, like for real. Is there trees in the forest? Hell, I don't know until I go to the forest and look. And then when I look, I'm like, yep, there goes a tree. And then when I leave the forest, is the tree still there? I don't know. When I left it, it was there. But does it stay there? Nobody knows. The observer determines what is observed. Oh, man. Let me say that again. This is a biological business. It's called BioBiz. See, in BioBiz, there is a circle, or there is what's called a business optimization circle, the same way there is a personal optimization circle that every client of mine has. Everybody has their life optimization circle. You guys know that this is guaranteed to work. I've been using this thing, man. I just started teaching this because, again, I try it out first before I teach it. Nobody teaches that life optimization circle. That's why I'll be hoping you guys don't be sharing it too freely with other people. But business have a business optimization circle as well. And if you understand this, my brothers and sisters, is something that people pay thousands and thousands of dollars for. I paid thousands and thousands of dollars to learn this. And then after I learned it, I'm like, man, hell, I do that already. Neuro-linguistical programming. So I paid some fool thousands of dollars to learn neuro-linguistical programming. And so how do I change, or how do I program your neurons? Photons hit the skin and they're transformed into neuro-photons. Information hits the ear, is transformed into neuro-info. Nothing is used unless it's neurological. So you love me, right? Your love means nothing to me unless it's neurological love. So I'm in business, right? So this is where science and business come together in this book. I got an organization. I got a group of people I want to lead. I want to develop a culture. I want to drive sales. I want my marketing team to be excited. I want them to go out and hustle. I want to hustle. I want to do something. How do I get people to do it automatically? I got to program them. So how do I program? I release a chemical inside of them, and this chemical, again, changes their behavior so that way they execute without delay. So how do I create a program that is based upon science, that have the effective methods and the methodology of releasing oxytocin in the body? Now, in everybody that's been in the military, this is what they do. Every military leadership program, when I went to the NCO, the Non-Commissioned Officers Leadership Program, when I was in the Marine Corps boot camp, they took us on one-on-one, and they gave us what is called communicating coaching using NLP. Why? This is belief-building activity. It builds belief. Why you guys think I do one-on-ones? It does the same thing. It makes you, it builds belief. So yesterday I was talking to, I'm closing with this. Let me give you an example. So Sister Asia, I don't know if she's on the phone listening. So we're talking. Sister Asia is explaining. I'm asking her a question. Now, you guys know I ask why 7 times. If you haven't pimped the game, listen to how I coach. This is called, again, spiritual therapeutics. It's my brand of neuro-linguistical programming. I didn't like the going back and remembering bad stuff all the time that they do to program you neurologically using modern psychology. So I want to use spirituality. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Bible, not hearing the past. So I acknowledge the past. I identify the past, but I override the past to the word of God, not with the past events or not with future events. I don't want to program you and get you addicted to hope. That's what neuro-linguistical programming does. That's why I don't use it. Neuro-linguistical programming releases chemicals in the body that get you to respond to the feeling of hope. Every time somebody gives you hope, ding, 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 you'll do anything for hope. Unfortunately, I can't go to CPS and pay my light bill with hope. Hope don't pay my bills. So I need fruit. I need results. I need something that's going to get you to get up and move. What does that? Facts that are based upon experience that was profitable. So while talking to Sister Asia, I tell her, explain to me how you are able to have an intimate conversation. And she kept telling me how easy it was. And I asked her, why is it easy for you to talk about intimate stuff? I mean, like, you know, just talking, mainly with, you know, in a relationship, but also with strangers. So she has a comfort zone that allows her to ask questions. You ever seen Oprah Winfrey when she interviewed people, or Barbara Walters? What makes them, how can they, like me, I would be a little uncomfortable asking somebody, so you cheated on your wife. How many times you cheat on your wife? I never met the person in my life. I'm just going to ask them. So you have a sexually transmitted disease. How'd you get it? You know, I would be uncomfortable asking. Some people are not. Some people are very blunt, and some people are very straight. What makes them that way? So you got to ask why. And then when I told her why, now we started talking, and she started breaking down her childhood, how she was raised, what she experienced, what life path she is. And then the one word kept popping up the whole time throughout the conversation. Now, this word may be for you. It was the word intimacy. That word kept coming up. But the type of intimacy was mental. It wasn't physical. It's not like being intimate with somebody on a sexual level. No, that's not what. But how does somebody develop mental intimacy? The ability to pull people out of their. See, I don't like to talk about certain mental things. But there are certain people that can get me to talk about my deep, dark secrets. Well, those people they're tapped into me on a neurological level. They release a chemical inside of my brain that makes me comfortable because it removes my resistance to change or my resistance to talk about subjects. So I don't want to talk about when I was beat when I was a child, when I was a child. But I talk about it. Why? I remove the block or the barrier. So there's customers going to come in. They don't want to buy your product because the packaging don't look good. They don't know why they don't want to buy your product, but all that they see, you ever see my book covers? I don't have a professional book cover designer. So I know I'm losing sales right now because of my book cover design. Because there are some people who are creative artists, and they say when they see my book covers, if this fool is not going to take the time to invest in something that's going to make his books more appealing, I'm not going to buy it. Now, I know this. Because I know people who are like that. They look at the book by its cover. But see, I'm not like that. But if I want to reach that person, I got to think like that. That's what neuro-linguistical programming is. But the problem that I have with it, again, the reason that I don't teach it is because of it re-emphasizes. Because whatever you remember, the word remember means return. R-E means return. Member means mem. Now, a mem is a biological, a mem is a sound that changes the gene expression. So I'm using mems, but I don't want to use old ones unless they were successful. So I only get clients to talk about successful events in their past because those are mems that's going to help them release the chemical that they experience during that successful event in the past. And then I want to use that to establish the present. That's all I do with Asia. That's all I do with all my clients. That's what you got to do with your business. So a customer come in, you got to talk to that customer. You got to keep talking to that customer until you find out what is it that releases the chemical of oxytocin in their body. Whatever it is, that everybody got that touch tone. It's called a touch tone. T-O-U-C-H-T-O-N. It's a frequency, brother. That frequency, when you tap into that frequency, bam, oxytocin is released. That person will follow you around in the daylight with a flashlight. If you're smart enough to understand and fight it, most people are not willing to take the time to find the person's touch tone. It's a frequency that touches them on a cellular, on a neurological level. People do nothing unless it's neurological, because we are biological, electrical, neurological, or chemical beings. Tomorrow we'll continue with part three. Brothers and sisters, again, this series, The Biology of Business. I know you guys thinking like, man, this brother, man, telling us everything. Man, this goes way a lot deeper. We're going to get into the real biology of it. You know, I'm just scratching the surface to kind of whet your appetite. But, again, when we do the series, you definitely want to tune in to The Biology of Belief. You want to pick up the book. It's going to be a powerful, probably 7 to 10-part series that we're going to be rolling out here after the current series. Probably started about the 16th or 17th of this month. So set aside to Ducky's brothers and sisters or your some funds so that way you can participate in this series, The Biology of Business. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.